This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Grant Paulson solo today with Danny vacationing. I am live at Nationals Park, sections 106 and 107 in the left field concourse. Homecoming night, Juan Soto and Josh Bell. The first of 7 games against Soto, Bell, and the Padres for the Nats over the next 10 days. I've got thoughts we will get into Juan Soto coming home in just a little bit. But let's get to the BetQL guest hotline, because when you get a guest like Joe Theismann on, you don't make him wait. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app. Visit BetQL.com. One of the legends who brought greatness on the gridiron to this city that we still cling to from his greatness. By the way, in a 2-year period, people sleep, Joe, on the heater you were on. You had such a great career. Super Bowl champ, NFL Most Valuable Player, Offensive Player of the Year. But you went back-to-back with Man of the Year and MVP, off the field, on the field, in 82-83. How many people did that in a 2-season run, huh?
Grant, you're very kind to you're very kind to say that. I was just, you know, I was part of a great organization, part of a great bunch of guys. I mean, coaches, everybody, the entire organization. Fortunate enough to have incredible guys in 83. And then, of course, my daughter having open heart surgery at Children's Hospital really gave me an opportunity to get into the community and do everything we could to help all the kids that really need it. It's something, we all need to do. We all need to take a step back and look around at how lucky we are and who can we help? How can we help kids especially and give them a chance to be able to have a great life? And that's why I'm involved in St. Jude's Children's Research Center in Memphis. And, you know, I still feel very strongly about the Children's Hospital National Medical Center in D.C.
Well, Joe, it's preseason time. And for years, it's funny, August is kind of when oftentimes we start getting you on, not only for the ramp up to the season, but for many, many years, you were the start of the season to me. I hear your voice, and you're on the preseason calls. And our guy, Doc Walker, who you're a longtime friends with, is going to be doing the color this year. You're not involved in the broadcast. But I got to tell you, I'm going to miss you. That was a rite of passage for me. It was like throwing it back to the Mike Patrick days with Theismann in the booth on ESPN Sunday Night Football. So you'll be kicking the feet up, I guess, and watching from home, huh?
I will, actually. Yeah, it's a very unusual situation for me too, Grant. I mean, I'm like you are. I feel like a little bit like a fish out of water, but I had some conflicts with some scheduling, and it just, you know, with the 3 preseason games, it just didn't work out for me this year. And, you know, there's certainly a possibility I'll be back next year, but I know Doc's going to do a great job with his analysis, and I'm looking forward to listening to him. And I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say about our football team. So it's a little bit different for all of us. It's like the draft. We have to draft people from Alabama. That's just part of a rite of passage in Washington, it seems like. And unfortunately, you know, we get another new starting quarterback here. And hopefully there'll be some stability created in that situation as well.
Yeah, I want to talk QBs with you, and I'm looking forward to the broadcast. Doc, as you said, we'll do a nice job, and it's going to be fun to check out preseason football again. We made it. We made it through those, as I like to say, those rocky waters of footballless months, and we are back and better than ever now in the National Football League. So let's talk Carson Wentz for a second.
Uh-huh.
How do you feel about him as a fit in this offense? Third year, third organization now. Maybe his last op as a starter to kind of solidify himself. What do you think about this fit?
Well, first of all, you go back to Philadelphia. Getting hurt was very unfortunate for him in 2017. He was playing some really, really good football. they wind up going on, winning the championship. And I think when he came back in 2018, you know, he's somewhat of a big mobile guy. And I felt like his mobility was limited, and I think it affected him. I think he tried to do a little too much, and obviously wound up getting traded to Indianapolis. Throws 27 touchdown passes, 7 interceptions, which I think any quarterback would take in this league, a 4-to-1 ratio when it comes to TDs and interceptions. But then you just don't know what happened in Indianapolis. Obviously losing the last two games will, you know, make a difference. But and now a great new opportunity here in Washington. I think it's the last year of a contract, could be the beginning of a great career for him. He brings a strong arm, which I think the offense wanted. Scott Turner, I think, wanted to be able to put the ball down the field a little bit more, a little further down the field. You know, he's mobile enough to be able to run the offense that you want, a little bit with Taylor Rand. And like I say, he's got the strong arm. And now, I mean, I really think what caught up with him the last couple of years was not his athleticism, but some of the decisions that he made with the ball in his hands. And that, to me, is the key about playing quarterback. You have to know, you know, when to hold them and when to fold them. So if you've got a third and long situation and it looks like you're going to get sacked, take the sack. I mean, that's the one thing I had to learn, was that there's a whole bunch of other guys. There's a defense, there's punters. There's so many guys out there that are willing to help. You just can't try and put it on your own shoulders. And I think Carson did to a degree in both places, late in Philadelphia and in Indianapolis. I think he got to situations where he just wanted to try and make a play, which isn't bad, but sometimes you have to evaluate where you are on the field, what's the score of the game, and all of the other things that go into playing the position of quarterback. And I believe 100% that is an area that he's going to grow in this year, which will help this football team win.
Joe Theismann on Grant and Danny. Tell me if I'm wrong about this from a quarterbacking standpoint. I feel like I would rather a QB like Wentz, who can physically do a lot of things that a vast majority of quarterbacks in the league can't with a big arm in terms of attributes, who misses some of the easy layup stuff, then vice versa, where maybe a guy hits on all of the layup drill stuff but doesn't have the club in the bag for some of the things that Wentz has the potential to do vertically. Am I wrong about that? Because the book on him, the knock on him, Joe, has been that he misses some of that easy, quote-unquote, like you just take it for granted stuff.
Yeah, you know, everybody misses some of the easy, take it for granted stuff. Unfortunately, Grant, we're in a situation where at the quarterback position, every throw that you make is analyzed and scrutinized and dissected. You know, Tom Brady misses short, easy throws. Peyton Manning missed short, easy throws. Lamar Jackson misses short, easy throws. You know, I could go down a list of people. How'd you like to be Jimmy Garoppolo? You go to the NFC Championship game the last couple of years, and they got you out the door in a heartbeat. You know, everybody's talking about Carson moving from one place to another, but, you know, he's out of Indianapolis. But what about Jimmy Garoppolo? I mean, he's going to go someplace, I promise you this, and he's going to help somebody, and it could be the Browns. I mean, they're talking very much about that. I think also Seattle is a possibility for him. But, you work on the things that you don't do well, or work on the things that need to be worked on, I guess you could say. If Carson is having trouble throwing shorter passes, or anybody does, those are the things you want to focus on because they're the easy completions. You know, the percentage of hitting long passes over 20 yards down the field is not very high. But anything under 10 should be in the 70-80% range, I think. And, you know, those are the things – If that was an issue during training camp as they've observed it, or if that was an issue with them, that's something he can focus on. Because every day you have to get better. You know, I've had conversations with Tom about this, Brady. It's like Tom, you're 45 years old. You've been in this game, you know, Methuselah was a child when you started this whole thing. But no matter whether it's 23 years or whether it's year four, you're still trying to grow and get better because there's so many different elements of the position that you can grow in. And every day is a different day.
I love, by the way, that Tom Brady is Tom. Because when you said Tom, I'm thinking, who's Tom? And you're like, you know, this guy, he played quarterback at one point. Makes me want to just grab your cell phone and start scrolling through the contacts at some point, Joe. Joe Theismann on G&D. Let me ask you this. I loved what you just said. I loved it. This idea of basically every throw being a referendum. I'm guilty of this. We all are. It's the Twitter world, honestly. And I think we're all trying to confirm our priors. Like, God forbid Wentz is in this bucket. Cousins, Carr, like there's just certain guys. You make a bad throw, it's viral. You're right? I mean, I told you.
Yeah.
I told you. And even if you like Dak Prescott or you don't, you're finding the one play. It didn't used to be that way, I'm sure of it. I mean, when you were quarterbacking, was every drive and every throw scrutinized like that? I don't know that it's all bad because it means fans are smarter and we've got all 22. I pay money to get all 22 film after every single game. And I don't know what the hell I'm doing with it, probably, compared to, you know, these adults in the room. But we're smarter. Maybe that's good. But I also think you're right, man. Being a quarterback right now is not fun.
It can be. Obviously, you know, if you're Matthew Stafford, it's fun right now.
Or,
you know, Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen, the guys, you know, the young guys coming in, and we get a whole bunch of great ones coming in. The thing is what's different is society and social media. And you brought it up. I've missed throws. Everybody's missed short throws. Everybody's missed different kinds of throws. Everybody's missed opportunities. But you weren't scrutinized as much because it wasn't as instantaneous. It wasn't immediately out there. You know, I tweet during games. I love interacting with the fans during games. I watch different games, and I'll send a tweet out about something I've observed or a question that I have or what I think might transpire or what somebody might want to do. I mean, I'm as guilty as anybody from a play-to-play observation. And that's, I just think, where we are when it comes to as fans and the access that we have to be able to voice our opinion, to be able to express how we feel about something. And you're the person for 60 plus plays per game. You're the one that has the ball in your hand, and not everything's going to go well during a large you hope a large percentage, but it's not going to go well all the time. And so there's going to be that one errant throw or that mistake and, you know, different things. It's like I go back to the Super Bowl against Kansas City. Jimmy Garoppolo had Emmanuel Sanders on the middle of the football field late in that game. You know, he missed the throw. That would have been a touchdown. San Francisco would have won. Jimmy Garoppolo would still be the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, I believe, had it not been for one pass play. And you look at Carson's situation the latter two games in Indianapolis. If they'd gone differently and they made the playoffs, probably would still be in Indianapolis as a quarterback. So, you know, you just don't know what's that one opportunity that you didn't quite capitalize on and have a chance to be able to make that throw or convert that third down or as a wide receiver to make that catch that continues the drive where you get a chance to be able to win the ball game. But a lot of it has to do with the way fans react today. And, that, you know, without them, the game wouldn't be fun. We found out a couple of years ago just how little fun there really is. It became a business during the pandemic. The fans drive it, and our fans are the best. They really are. I mean, that's what made it so much fun for us. I mean, the most memorable moment I've had, the Super Bowl was a great win for us in Pasadena. But my greatest memory was standing on the football field in the NFC Championship game when we're beating the Dallas Cowboys, and the fans are pounding their feet on these aluminum seats that they brought in, and the ground is shaking beneath my feet. That is a memory that is emblazoned in my mind. And it wasn't the game. It was the fans. It was their enthusiasm. It was their love for what we were trying to do and win a football game. And they were as much a part of it as we were. And
I would just kill to have been there for that. It is crazy, Joe, because now you've got an entire generation of people like me. I'm 34 as of a couple months ago. My first memory of this team is 1993 as a 5-year-old. And we got the videos and the DVDs. And, I mean, my mom raised me telling me stories of you like you were Santa Claus, you know. And it's just – man, I would kill to have experienced that.
that we were lucky. I mean, it was, like I said, we were lucky. And, you know, we're all wanting those days back. We can never have what was back, but we can try and get close. You know, I think for us, as critical a year as this is for us as a football team, the first two games are monumental. I mean, you got Jacksonville, Detroit. Jacksonville's going to be a better football team. Detroit and Detroit's a tough place to play. So if we're going to be who all of us would like to believe we can be, and I know Coach Rivera and everybody wants this football team to be, we're going to have to get off to a fast start, and we're going to have to come out and play good, solid, smart football. Obviously, the defense is going to have to play better than they did a year ago, and Carson's going to have the microscope. You can't avoid this. I mean, the microscope is on you. You know, you may, and the thing is embrace it. You know, there's only 32 guys this year that are going to start as quarterbacks in the National Football League. It's 32 positions. There are more heads of state. There are more presidents in the world. There are more CEOs. There are more billionaires. There are more trillionaires than there are starting quarterbacks in the National Football League. Embrace the moment and go out and be the best you can possibly be, keeping in mind that the bottom line is winning.
Joe Theismann's got me ready for some football on Grant and Danny. All right, I got to ask you before I let you go. We have two options. We're going to find out tomorrow what the new fight song is. I'm sure you know that they have kept the fight song almost identical to the old one, and they've changed the lyrics around. So the options are, one of the lines is "Fight for our Commanders," and the other is "Leaders on a Mission." What does Joe Theismann want the new fight song to be?
I like "Leaders on a Mission." I think if we're commanders, we're leaders on a mission, and our mission is to win.
Get back to winning football games. I'm going to read you this real quick because I want to end this here. Someone just tweeted me, and they said, "Tell Joe, I don't know if you'll remember this, you spoke at a YMCA event back in 1985. He says, I was 9 and I met him. He took me over to his limo and signed a ball for me. I'll always remember." He said this was after you got hit and weren't playing for the team. He said, "As a kid, he made my life then. I was recovering from leukemia. I was a survivor."
I do remember that day, and I'm so glad that young person is able to communicate with us and pass the story on. But I think, you know, to me, we're just blessed to be able to do the things we're able to do. I mean, being able to put a uniform on is a privilege, not a right. And that's why I think you have to respect the game, and you have to respect the people, that the fans that love the game and the players inside the game. And that's one word that I think we need to sort of grab onto society more is to respect one another, respect people's opinions, respect who they want to be, allow them to be who they want to be. And that's one thing. That was one thing about Joe Gibbs, real quick, that he'd let us be us. I mean, if you look at you, we weren't a football team. We were characters with character. I mean, and Doc was one of them. You know, I mean, it was everybody had their own personality, but we all loved one thing, and that was playing football and playing together. And I hope this football team feels that same way.
Yeah, you and me both. One of the great ambassadors of football in this town, Joe Theismann, and at his restaurant over in Alexandria, they make a heck of a steak fry as well. So he's good. He's good in my book. Hey, Joe, thank you. Awesome to have you on.
You bet. You bet, buddy. Take care of yourself. And I hope Danny comes back rested and ready to go.
He better be. I mean, it feels like he's been gone for a month, this guy. Appreciate you, Joe.
Take care, bud. Bye-bye.
There's Joe Theismann on Grant and Danny.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.